Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. I'm taking a break from painting for a couple hours tonight, and I'm very, very excited to do so. Man, am I excited. Actually, we've got a heck of a show. We've got a fantastic guest. I'm just blown away by it, a little starstruck, so bear with me, folks. We have Miss Tracy Birdsall on tonight, film actress extraordinaire. How are you, Tracy?
I'm doing great. Thank you. What a great intro.
Well, I got to tell you, I am a huge science fiction fan, and
oh,
we don't have enough science fiction guests. Oh yeah, it's that's my thing. I am, you know, it's funny. We all kind of maybe talk a little tongue in cheek with some of the horror guests we have on, because I know there's horror just horror nuts out there. I can't say much because I'm that way with science fiction.
I love it. I absolutely love it. There's not enough sci-fi in the world.
I'm telling you. It's well, I guess it's expensive, but it's. I think with technology changing, it maybe is getting a little easier, you know, more cost-effective and whatnot. So you've been well. First off, before we get into, you have a new movie out, and I want to let everybody know about it. But are you? You grew up in California. You're a native out there.
I am. I have the most boring story out here. I was born in Burbank.
Oh, nice. Yes. I remember the first time I ever went to Burbank, I thought it was going to be this, you know, it was really my first time in L.A., and I thought, you know, I had pictures of guys carrying big sets around, and it was going to be like the back lot or some big studio or something. And I went to Burbank, and it was all like industrial buildings. And,
funny.
You know, like... Yeah, like a machinery park or something, you know, or and
yeah.
I'm like, man, and my friend, she
it's
said,
actually
it's
gotten
what
really
goes
nice
on inside.
Again. Yeah, it's actually gotten really
oh,
nice
yeah.
again. There's some really nice communities in Burbank. As a kid, it was really nice. And then we left, we went up the coast. But yeah, I kind of grew up right in the heart of it. Because my mom's family moved out, actually, with the Walt Disney family, because my great-grandfather
oh, really?
Was a Disney composer. Yeah, so that's kind of how her side of the family ended up in California.
It's amazing. I when I got out of college, I moved to San Diego. I lived out there for about 10 years, and then I moved here to South Florida. And my my girlfriend is a Floridian, native Floridian, her and her family. And I have recently been converted to the religion of Disney. No, I'm kidding, but it's
a little different than sci-fi, but not
into
much.
It out there. Oh, not much. No. I tell you, we just went this weekend to Disney World. We go every couple months, you know, because we live here. And they have that new Pandora exhibit from the Avatar
I've heard
world.
About that.
It's pretty awesome. Now, see, unlike you get to walk around alien planets on a Wednesday. But it was pretty cool for me.
I get to walk around some pretty amazing planets, that's for sure.
Very true. Now, were you always, did you always have the acting bug, or were you a performing child and into all that kind of stuff, or how did
I
it come
was.
About?
I was. My you know, I did singing and dancing at the Gary Dance Studio, like everybody that grew up in Burbank did, and I just loved performing. I remember everybody else would be really scared when they were on stage, and I just loved that people enjoyed it, you know, so it's like, and I got
right.
into musical theater and stuff like that, but my parents didn't really want me to be an actor. They wanted me to use my brain but I just kind of stayed and persevered and stuck with it and grew up in it. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I'm glad that you did. Now, you've been making movies, making the dream into reality for a little while here. You have your new movie, Rogue Warrior Robot Fighter. How did that come about? Do you get scripts, or your agent gets scripts and says, hey, you should check this out? Or I don't know how, I'm not in that world, so I don't know how all that works.
Yeah, that was kind of a funny story. It's not like all the other stories. I mean, so many of the films that I've done in my life and the shows were, you know, the regular old audition route. But I was friends with Neil Johnson, who's the director, and he was in post-production on a film called Starship Apocalypse. And I was such a sci-fi geek. You know, I never got to do sci-fi. I went on sci-fi auditions, but I never got to do it. And I grew up, that was my favorite genre to watch. So he said to me, he was in post, and he goes, God. He goes, you know, I've got this one. I need a spaceship computer voice. He goes, you wouldn't want to do that for me, would you? Of course, I've done no voiceover work in my life, only my own ADR. But I was so excited. I was like, I get to be a spaceship computer. I mean, it was just, you know, you get it. You're a sci-fi geek. So,
oh, yeah.
So I did that. Yeah. And then after that, I was just winning a lot of awards. I had a lot of films that were getting a lot of success out there. And he saw the way that I worked and how committed I am to everything. He goes, you know, you really need to lead up a film with me. He goes, we need to work together. So he had a bunch of scripts that were on the back burner. And I grew up around, my father ran a power electronics convention, so I grew up around robotics, and he had this one called Planet Crash. And it was basically the overtaking of humanity by artificial intelligence. But the script has morphed so much since then, because once I got cast and then I helped find other people we were going to cast, it just got really big and very different. And that was kind of how it was born, though, was in, you know, us wanting to work on something together, and it all came from doing a voiceover for a spaceship.
Well, I think, personally, Apple missed the boat, man. I mean, Siri's okay. They should have called up Tracy. Come on, man.
Yeah.
I would rather hear your voice than Siri. That's brilliant. I want my computer to sound like you now.
It's really funny. It was really awesome, though, you know, because you meet people in the weirdest ways, and then you hang out with people, and then something starts one thing, and then you start paying attention to them. And I just am one of those people. I work probably 100 times harder than anybody I know. And he's one of those people that works probably 100 times harder than anybody I know. So it was one of those things where, you know, we're 3 years in the future now from where that started. And it was definitely the right move to make. Yeah.
And that's, you know, a lot happens in that time. I'm telling you, when I lived in California, I learned, you know, I'm in the art business. So I'm, you know, hustling paintings and stuff. But at the same time, I learned everybody in California, at least the people, maybe I was just hanging out with the right ones, were really on it, man. They were, you know, working hard to make it happen. And I talked to people that I mean, it's just, you know, there's this fantasy, this American mythos of sitting in the soda fountain and being discovered by the producer. And that might have happened to Lana Turner or something, but the majority of people I know in entertainment or the arts or whatever, there's an awful lot of hard work, and that includes putting yourself at the right place at the right time.
Being trained to the degree and being skilled enough to be able to, once you get that opportunity, to be able to grasp it and make it into the wonderful opportunity that it can be. Because so many people don't take it to the next level and get the skills necessary to back up the dream, you know?
Exactly. A friend of mine comes to mind, well, I should have said an acquaintance comes to mind. He got a gig on one of these reality contest shows, and that was, you know, he still talks about that. That was his big claim to fame.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he had more dreams than that, but it's like exactly like you said, and I'm not trying to be mean or talk despairingly about somebody, but that's the case. He didn't have the hustle to keep it going, to parlay that into other opportunity.
Yeah. And, you know, on that note, sometimes supporting actors will say to me, you know, that I'll meet on a project and they'll be like, well, what do I have to do? Like, how can I, you know, get more work and get bigger parts and everything? And how am I going to meet these people? I'm like, it isn't meeting the people. It's getting the training at the next level and working the work at the next level. And instead of putting 2 hours of prep or 3 hours or 4 hours of prep, put 100 hours of prep into it. You know, be that person that when you get that opportunity that you run with it, and nobody does it.
What other advice
do you have for me?
You know, the interesting thing too is the genre that you are working in a lot. As an actor, I imagine there's a lot of technical terminology and tech speak that comes about. I noticed in the trailer for Rogue Warrior, Robot Fighter, you just rattle that off, man. I know that's your job, you're professional and everything. I understand that, but yeah, not a problem. You know all those robot numbers and this and that, and you know, it just.
Well, Well, luckily I'm
I always notice that when I watch these. Yeah, exactly. I think that's a big part of it.
It is, and you have to practice. You have to practice, and you have to understand it. And I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I used to go on sets, and people didn't even know how to pronounce certain words. I mean, that's part of your homework. You know, you got to look it up. You got to get to the point where you can rattle it off like you are that character saying those words. I mean, that's otherwise nobody's going to buy it.
Right, right. Well, that's amazing. That's amazing. Now, when you do get a part, a script or whatnot, let's say that's point A, and then there's, you know, all this that goes into it. Is there usually a long time between that, time-wise, before, like, filming, actual, like, on-the-set filming starts? Or does it always change? It's different every time.
It always changes, but, you know, I like having more time. I like at least 4 months prep time if I can. I've not had that before, but since I usually play a lead, it's, you know, it's like sometimes I've got 290-page scripts in my brain, you know, so it's like, yeah, so I like to memorize everything, and then I create the character before I ever say anything out loud, just so that when the character's saying those words, it's the first time they've said them, you've already decided how they move, how they talk, how they walk, but, you know, then it has to be their organic words, so like right before I'll shoot a scene, I'll run it through how that character would do it, but it's really funny, I have like this silent study method, and yeah, I just get off book on everything and then create it, and then I let that person live that life.
That's cool. That's cool. So in your home, I imagine, there's time where don't mess with Tracy. She's in her zone. She's doing her thing.
You know, we all have our zone time, and my zone time is like 5 a.m., no coffee. Like, I love coffee,
gotcha.
But when I'm memorizing, it's like I'll wake up at 5 a.m., the house is silent, and I'll spend hours working on it before anybody wakes up, you know, and I love that time. So,
you know,
yeah, I can cram a lot in my brain
so
at that moment.
It's so interesting to hear that. Mm-hmm. I am the same way. I get up, matter of fact, people kind of, our little social group makes fun of me a little bit because I used to be real wild and go to nightclubs and all this kind of stuff all the time. But no, I get my best work done in the morning when there's nobody around, the phone's not ringing,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'll get up at 3 a.m. and work.
Yeah, well, it's
eight.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
5 hours.
I never got to do the party thing. That was never a part of my life because I was always so focused on creating my life and branding myself and working that, you know, I mean, I took vacations and stuff, but I never did the party scene. Yeah.
That's a good thing because, you know, you look amazing. I look like a toad. These, you know, it catches up with you.
Oh, you're very funny. It's not true, but thank you.
And that's probably part of the of being an actor, especially a film actor, I imagine, is you have to, you know, I imagine you have a physical fitness routine and you eat healthy and all that. I mean, I'm assuming these things.
I do.
Because you have to
keep I work out with a trainer and exactly. Everything's a tool. So you have a toolbox. So if somebody eats too much and gains too much weight, unless they're doing it for a role, they've just lost a tool. If somebody, you know, doesn't take their vitamins and eat right and they can't memorize as well, they've lost another tool. You know, so my goal is to make sure my tool belt's always full. And, you know, I'm a vegetarian. I eat really well. I am having pizza tonight, so I do let myself, But I do. I work out, like, at the gym first thing in the morning, you know. So it's like it's all balance. It's all living in balance.
Well, the good thing about that reminds me of an old classic movie I saw with James Cagney played I can't think of his name, The Man of 1,000 Feet, Lon Chaney, and it was, you know, back in the old days of movie making, and there was a scene at the beginning. He was, you know, he was working in the movies, and he'd show up and they'd have a big sign. They said, okay, we need 14 pirates, 8 Indians, you know, 3 cowboys or whatever, and he would open his makeup box. He had like this big, look like a toolbox, and do himself up for whatever was needed, a pirate or whatever. And they'd come out and say, okay, you, and you. And he always got that because he had all of his tools and his tool belt.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Cool. Yeah. It's actually pretty amazing. And the thing is like for a role, like the film we're working on right now, The Time War, it's this epic time travel film that goes back into the time of World War II. And so there were actually times we've been filming this for quite a long time, a couple of years. And there have been times in it where the character was different versions of the character, and it was set back in the time. So I wouldn't go to the gym for a couple of weeks, and I'd eat everything I could find. And so I'd get a little softer,
right.
And then we'd shoot those scenes, and then I'd start shredding it back off and hit the gym. I mean, so it's interesting how you can also morph yourself, you know, for the characters. The character has her journeys. Yeah.
That's cool. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Napa Know-How. A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how!
Hey everybody, pop artist Jamie Rocks here. Hey, at the end of last year, some people, we've got quite a few inquiries where people wanted paintings, but, you know, the economy's getting better, but it's still kind of rough for a lot of people, and they just can't afford my normal larger paintings. You know, they love my work, but they just can't afford the big ones. So what we did on that is I've been picking different themes and painting smaller ones, 16 by 20 canvas, perfect size canvas for an apartment or a room. It's not overwhelming. It's not a big, huge thing you'd see in a gallery or in a big millionaire's house. But it's good. And what they are, we've been selling those on eBay. So if you go to the website, www.jamierocks.us, you'll see the eBay auctions there. I try to have 4 or 5 per week up at all times. And, you know, we don't have any control over what those sell for. So you might get a good deal. But definitely worth checking out if you're on a budget, and, you know, I hope one of my original paintings will be hanging in your home soon. Thank you for your interest, and on back to the show now.
Now,
what do you think? I mean, are you having to, like, is the costuming period of, like, the 40s and whatnot, is in that and whatnot?
Oh, yeah, some of it is. Some of it is and some of it isn't because it's time travel. So there's lots of different versions of me climbing around. I had to put so much effort into making them all different. And so, you know, some of them are back in the 40s, and, you know, Adolf Hitler's alive and well. And I play his daughter and his nemesis in the film. So he's traveling through time trying to rewrite history, and I'm traveling through time trying to put an end to it and a whole bunch of other things. Yeah, so that's the next
that
one that comes
cool.
out.
That is cool.
Yeah.
I want to see it. I want to see it. That's amazing.
I love
that
it.
That is very
Yeah, it's a really cool film. Yeah.
Wow. Hitler's daughter. Now, see, there you go. Put on the resume. Hitler's
I
daughter.
I know,
I
right?
It. I love it.
And Nemesis.
And Nemesis. Yes, we can't forget that. Especially
it's
these
an interesting
days,
mouthful.
You
know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to let people know, on our show page, we have a link to your website, which includes links to all of your various social media, which I suggest people you follow, subscribe, like, tweet. Because Tracy's very busy. She's got a lot of stuff going on. And she's everywhere. She's follow her on Pinterest, man. I do. It's fantastic posts. And we
you.
Also have a link to the Amazon page. Bit, and we're going to put one up to the Walmart Blu-ray page, too, because Rogue Warrior Robot Fighter is out everywhere, right? I mean, people, wherever
it is,
they watch video on demand.
Yeah, it's on Vudu, it's on Google Play, it's on iTunes, it's everywhere right now. It just went wide a week ago today. Yeah.
Wow, congratulations. Now,
with
that, was there a mix of both CGI and practical effects in that? Or because I kind of got that feeling when I was watching the trailer.
Yeah, I mean, actually.
Easy to work under those conditions.
Okay. Starship Rising and Starship Apocalypse were a couple films that Neil Johnson made prior to my, you know, working with him. He was in post on one of those. And those were almost all green screen. So he just made those whole movies almost all green. And it made him hate green screen. So when we went into making Rogue Warrior, he wanted everything to be as practical as possible, keywords as possible. So a lot of the robots are physical robots. A lot of the, most of the sets, everything's physical or on location. I mean, we have just done hundreds of hours were spent driving to locations that look like other worlds. And of course you have to use some green screen, but very little, very, very little green screen. Yeah. And how was it like, you
Absolutely.
Say? It was really difficult at first, but I have such a vivid imagination that, and I've watched so much sci-fi, that as soon as it was real to me in my head, then it was no big deal. It was like playing the movie out in my head. I could imagine it, and it just, it was fun. It was like, oh, you're on a spaceship. Okay, there's space, Yeah, it was amazing. I had to take the robot, though, the little robot, Hoagland, he's in the poster, and he's kind of my buddy in the film. And I put him in my office a few months before we started shooting, and I gave him a personality and made him real to me, and I made everybody greet him when they came in my office, and because he had to be really real to me. Yeah, so that was kind of cool.
That's awesome. That's so cool. We live, I know people that kind of turn their nose up at green screen or whatever. I personally don't, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm such a fan of I started out with science fiction, of course, reading books. I read a ton of science fiction. And then as I love the age we're in, because technology's increased to the point where, just total vivid worlds are made now,
Exactly.
And it's amazing. It's amazing what they can do.
It is. And, it's spectacular.
Oh, yeah. And I'll probably get emails for saying this. I cheered when Grand Moff Tarkin was in, the last Star Wars movie. I'm like, that's pretty neat. How would they do that?
It was really cool, wasn't it? Yeah. I loved the last one. I can't wait for the next one.
I'm the same way. Just take my money. That's, how it is.
Exactly.
But I'm that way with all science fiction. Now, speaking of the time we live in, one of the things I also like is, we have in our house, we have Rokus and all that kind of stuff on all the TVs with Hulu and Netflix and Amazon, all that kind of stuff. So we have access to it, to so many of these fantastic movies that we can watch at home and whatnot. We don't even have to leave the house. And we even have a projector where we can project it up. But the industry is kind of it's interesting because you can make a movie and be involved in these movies and boom, global distribution right away, via the internet. That's got to be a cool to be in your world, in your work, to have that new tool available as well.
It really is it's a two-edged sword, though. What's great for us is that we actually, got picked up by Sony and got such wide distribution, because this day and age, 98% of all independent films don't get distributed. Now, of course, everything Neil's made has been distributed, but to get such wide distribution has been really exciting. And then we just got sold in Japan, so we already have the Japanese artwork, and I think we're going to release that next week. But it's really cool. It's cool to know that people all over the world are going to be enjoying the film over the next year or two, or hopefully forever. It's a really cool thing.
That's awesome. Now, the cool thing, too, about a movie, I imagine, I don't know the business aspects of it that well, so this question's coming from a place of ignorance, of course. Once you get it, it seems to me that once you finish the movie, there's residuals and whatnot. You have to make it once, and then it could keep going and going, right?
It can. It can keep going forever. Yeah, isn't that the whole idea? We make these movies in order to memorialize a time in life and in order to memorialize the characters and the idea is for them to go on forever. So I was just getting my pizza delivered while I'm talking to you.
Hey, you never know. That guy could be the next big star 5 years from now. You know what I mean?
Well, now you know I'm
Harrison
human, right?
Ford. That's right. Exactly. Just like everybody else, folks. Just like everybody
exactly.
else. She has a robot instead of a purse dog, but that's okay. That's okay.
My robot's actually sitting right next to me because I couldn't give him up after the movie. I got so attached to him.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's in a little glass case next to me. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there are people out there just salivating hearing that. They're going, oh, I want that for my house, all these collectors.
Oh, I know. He's amazing. People come in the door and he's right inside the door in my office and they're like, okay, that's cool. But I have the poster above it. It's really awesome.
Yeah. That's pretty neat. Pretty neat. Mm-hmm. Now, do you, is your house, are you a fan of like technology and smart things? And do you have all that stuff hooked up in your house?
You know, I am, but within reason. It's like, I'm not into like the, you know, when people walk in and they start talking to, what is it, Alexa or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I'd like to hit my own light switch. I used to be much more into it. I used to have like infrared sensors on light switches. So when you walked in the room, everything would turn on and all kinds of things. But
right.
I even have Siri turned off on my phone, like just little things like that. Because if you ask Siri, like ask her what they do with the information and if they collect the information and if they listen when you're not
right.
talking to them, like when your phone's off, and you will not like the answer. So it's like, I start asking all these questions one day, and I'm so worried all the time because people are always trying to hack into my stuff and my iCloud and this, that, and the other thing. And I'm so private because I have to be because I'm in this industry. And then here somebody's gathering information on us and we have no idea where that information's going or what they're going to do with it. So I turned her off.
I don't blame you. People always kind of, my circle of friends make fun of me a little bit. I don't use a smartphone. And it's not for any nefarious reason like that. It's just that, I learned when when the digital cameras first hit about, 15 years ago, or maybe longer, actually, it took me 6 cameras because I would always leave them places and they weren't cheap at the time.
Yeah.
Until I learned. Yeah. And my last phone I had, I liked it because it was like a flip phone, like Captain Kirk had on Star Trek, but it went through the wash a few times, before it finally just gave up. And, I get distracted and and set these things down. But you know, it reminds me of a conversation. I was at a party a few weeks ago and I was talking to somebody. There was some news article that happened about some company, I don't know, somewhere in North Dakota or someplace. And they wanted to install microchips in their employees. And that was the big, of the big topics. Yeah. Kind of the chit chat topic of the evening. And I told this person I was talking to, I said, I think that would just be a big PR nightmare because they already have it all. You know, everybody in this room is carrying around a whole bunch of microchips and you play Candy Crush Saga on them, you know?
Yes. Well, you know, I did just finish doing a movie about the overtaking of humanity by artificial intelligence. And I really do think that we have way too much artificial intelligence in our lives that we don't question it. And I don't think that can end well. I think we have to be aware of the fact that we have artificial intelligence in our lives in order to support us and help us, but not to rely upon it to the degree that we do, because where's that line? You know, when does it? I actually really believe this, that we as a society trust these things way too much and that they're going to grow beyond our ability to be able to control any of our information.
Absolutely. There used to be a series on PBS that this reminds me of, this conversation. It was called, I'm trying to think of it, Connections, I think it was called. And it basically, you know, they said, okay, there's a big disaster and all the electricity goes away. An EMP goes off and you live in the city. How do you survive? And they traced it down. They're like, you have to make it out to the, you know, farmland. You got to get out of the city, but to get gas that's fueled by electric pumps and computers, you know, that pumps out of the ground to your nozzle, to your car. And if your car's too new, the computers won't work. You know what I mean? It's what you needed to know, you had to know how to, process animals and farm with animals and when and how to farm, like when to plant crops and all this and that. And 99% of the people wouldn't make it. You know, they're independent.
Even Elon Musk was having something with Mark Zuckerberg. They were having like this little Twitter battle. And Elon Musk has been saying, you know, that we depend upon artificial intelligence too much and that we need to be really aware of the fact that this is going to be a disaster. And so it was funny. I took the article and I tagged it. And I just did a movie about that and I tagged him. But, of course, he didn't respond. It's like, hey, you're talking about what I'm talking about.
Exactly. And we've all had that I don't know. We just bought a house a year ago in our neighborhood, and it's in you know, a middle class, upper middle class neighborhood. It's a nice neighborhood, and for some reason though, I don't understand. We've been having power problems the last month. Power's went out like 6 times, and they've had to fix the lines and whatnot. And I tell you, you would think World War III had started. Everybody kind of stumbles out of their houses and kind of mumbles to each other. They don't know what to do, you know, because everything electronic-based and internet, computer-based. You know, nobody has a regular radio anymore. We all listen online. We all have digital
cable. Yeah, and it's really odd to have power outages this day and age. It's so rare, you know?
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Everybody. And that's... I hope we're not giving any of our future artificial intelligence ideas take out the power.
Maybe they're sucking it out from underneath in a tunnel for something that they're building to take over your neighborhood.
That's no, they could buy cheaper. They could find way cheaper tax rates. Believe me. Oh man.
Look for the home energy.
Something else they never talk about. Oh my gosh. Yes. Oh. Yeah, so that's cool. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Metal Babe Mayhem is more than just an online store. It's a destination. MetalBabeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers shrine clothing and alchemy gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with her rockin' reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
Hey everybody, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, when you're ordering from Metal Babe Mayhem, when you check out, there's a little space there. Put my code in, PopRocks, P-O-P-R-O-X-X. Again, P-O-P-R-O-X-X. You save 20% off your whole order. How cool is that, man? How cool is that? Again, don't forget, my code, PopRocks. Now back to the show.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
ROCKS Gear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
So the movie, folks, we're getting far afoot. Rogue Warrior, Robot Fighter, it's out now. It's out. And if you're in Japan, next week, baby, next week, you can watch it there.
Exactly.
How cool is that? How cool. And
we've
so the next.
Go
ahead. Oh, go ahead.
We've actually.
No.
No, you go ahead.
I wanted to know when it came out.
We came out a couple months ago, and we had theaters, limited release, and then they expanded the limited release, and then Walmart had an exclusive deal on it for 60 days. So you could only buy it in Walmart. And then it just last week came out wide, so now you can kind of get it everywhere, which is amazing.
That's awesome. Well, everywhere I've ever been to, there's a Walmart, so there you
go.
And, that's not a bad plan.
No, and it's in Walmart Canada, too. They have it in Canada, too, because I have friends that are always taking pictures of it on the shelves and sending it to me, which I love. Yeah.
That's got to be awesome. That has got to be so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Do you guys have, when you wrapped, I mean, when we watch about movie making on the television or in movies or something, that they always say, you know, it's a wrap, and they had a big party. Did you guys have a big party and all that when you finished it up?
I'll tell you why, because we finished the movie, and then the director was like, okay, let me see what else we need to shoot here while he's kind of piecing it together. And then he's like, oh, we need this here, we need that there. We were still shooting a year after we finished principal photography.
Ah.
So probably a third of what you see on the screen was shot over a year period, very carefully calculated, because, you know, we knew exactly what we wanted to do with this film. And in order to do that, we had to have all the right waves and all the right moments and all the, you know, everything's timed. So we actually, this was a very long process of shooting the movie and then going out and shooting other parts and reshoots too, certain things. If they weren't epic enough, he wouldn't put them in the movie. Now we need to redo this. We need a better location. So it was really a painstaking path to something that turned out pretty amazing.
Amazing. Now, I also, looking at your Internet Movie Database page, you also have a film out, or that's completed, I don't know if it's out yet, called Who's Jenna? Now, the poster doesn't look very science fiction to me, but maybe it is. I mean, there's a city in the background.
It's actually a comedy.
Nice.
I love comedy. Because remember, I didn't get to do science fiction until a few years ago, so I had to do drama and comedy. And so that was somebody that I met at an award show. I was getting, it's called the Maverick Award. It was just an award for contributions overall in the film industry. And when I came back, he came up to meet me afterwards, and he goes, you know, we've had this script, and we've had it on the shelf because we didn't have a lead actress for it. And it was originally called Who's Jenna Jameson, and it's about this attorney who Bill Cervino's roommate thinks looks like this famous porn star. So it's like raunchy guy comedy, you know, but it's a fabulous role, and I believe it's coming out very, very soon. I know it's being distributed by Indican, and I don't know, since it's on the East Coast and it's not my production, it was basically me and a bunch of Bill Cervino, Joe D'Onofrio, it's done by 624 Productions, Tom Baldinger, so it's a great film. I can't wait for it to come out, but no, it's a big comedy.
Nice.
It's hilarious. Yeah.
Nice. Well, she's always working, folks. She's always working. How about that?
Yes.
Very, very cool. Hey, and I wanted to ask you, I saw, I don't remember where I saw it. It might have been on Pinterest, actually, or someplace. You had mentioned you were in England, I don't know, working or something, and you stopped by a Doctor Who set or something, or were you on the Doctor Who show? Or I can't remember, but I remember,
wish.
In my mind, I'm thinking Tracy and Doctor Who for some reason. What was
it's
the
like
story
a perfect
with that?
Combination. That's a perfect combination.
I'm
isn't
telling
it?
You.
Yeah. We were shooting the Time War. Again, we shot a whole bunch of it, and we've just been doing these epic shots all over the place. And we went to England, and we shot, you know, Winchester Cathedral, Avebury Circle,
wow.
Stonehenge, all these different locations all over England. And we were there for 21 days, and we shot for 20 out of 21 days. And
wow.
I got one day off, and I'm like, I really want to go to the Doctor Who experience in Wales. So we drove all the way to Wales so that I could go to the Doctor Who experience. And I was like a little kid, you know, like a little kid in a new playroom. You know, I was just like, yeah, it was amazing.
I'm such a big fan of Doctor Who. I grew up on the classics. I'm a little down the food trough age wise on you, Tracy. I grew up on those old series, and then when the reboot happened, it just took off. I'm like, wow! I'm so glad that happened.
It's amazing.
It's so cool seeing all the new fans, you know, into that.
I just love it. I've actually gone back and started watching the original ones while I'm waiting for the new episodes of the new ones.
Nice, nice. No,
yeah.
Pretty interesting story with that, or news on that, I should say, with the new female doctor, the first female doctor. I thought that was pretty cool and pretty interesting. Can't wait to see how that plays out. I know, of course, there was some grumblings from people online, but when isn't there? You know,
and it's funny because I know that everybody's excited that she's a woman, but I feel like, you know, I'm that person because I was a tomboy. I'm that person where I feel like the best actor should get the role, whether they're male or female.
Exactly.
You know, and I know that they were looking for a female, but I think it's great that she was cast. I'm looking forward to seeing what she does with it. But it's like Rogue Warrior, Robot Fighter. That could have had a male lead. You know, it's just that, you know, you have to hire the best person for the job. And
exactly.
I'm not into the whole equality thing. I'm into making your way, you know.
I agree. It's
human
know,
beings.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I, you know, it's interesting in science fiction too, because it used to be, you know, it's in our house. My girlfriend's really into. She actually has a side business doing this, making props and costumes. She's really into that cosplay world where she goes to conventions and.
Oh yeah.
Dressing like characters from Japan I've never heard of. but the thing is, it's very true. It's very true, Tracy.
I love it.
But, you know, when I was a kid, man, I mean, the 12-year-old me would have died to meet a Tracy Birdsall or my girlfriend, Deanna, you know, somebody that's into science fiction, you know, and a woman, a girl at that time, you know.
Yeah.
We didn't come across that many. They were a little few and far, but I think it does nothing but increase any fandom or genre to have all this new input and whatnot, regardless,
I think it's amazing. I mean, I didn't meet a lot of people that were into science fiction when I was a kid, and I was really into it. My father was into it, and then I was growing up, and this little boy that lived down the street, he had a movie theater in his house. This is long before people had movie theaters in their houses.
Wow.
And he goes, "Oh, you want to come watch my dad's doing this movie and it's not out yet," and da 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 da. So I'm like, "Okay," you know. So I go walking downstairs, and in the basement of their house they had this literal movie theater in their house. And
wow.
It ended up to be Star Wars.
Wow.
Yeah, his dad was one of the producers on Star Wars. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I wish I'd stayed in contact with him. I was just stunned. Yeah.
That's cool.
I know. I want to redo.
It's an amazing story. I want that movie theater.
I just didn't appreciate it enough because I was too young, you know? And I was like, this is really cool. I love this.
I
love this, but it's like, what is this? You know, it was different, you know? So, anyway.
I remember going to the theater and seeing Star Wars. I was not a private movie theater in Hollywood, but well, nonetheless, it was amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And it started a whole lifelong thing. It changed everything, you know? Science fiction, I think, after the success of that, and especially the follow-up movies and what have you, really kind of parlayed into it went kind of from the 50s monster movie spaceship War of the Worlds type deal to real serious. That's cool. Well, I'm looking at the time and it's about that time. Tracy, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. You rock. You're awesome.
Thank you for
so
having
cool.
me. I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Thanks so much.
And I want to tell everybody again, get out there, watch Rogue Warrior, Robot Fighter, and of course, Who's Jenna coming out, and then the Time War. When do you any? I know you can't. I don't want to hold your feet to the fire on it. Ballpark.
I'd say first part of the year. Yeah, first part of the year. But it's worth the wait.
Nice.
It's amazing. I'm so excited about it. Yeah.
Awesome. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, keep doing what you're doing, man. You're really, really good at it.
Thanks, Jamie.
That's amazing.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
So cool. Well, have a good one. Thank you. Enjoy
you
that
too.
Pizza.
Take care.
Night.
I'm going to. I'm going to go
bye
eat
bye.
It right now. Okay. Bye-bye.
Nice. Well, there you go, folks. That was Tracy Birdsall. Again, the movie Rogue Warrior, Robot Fighter. out now. Get out there and see that. We'll have links up. We have links up now, but we'll have even more links up as soon as the show's over. This show, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various social media platforms, including iTunes on their podcast page for free. Doesn't cost anything. Hey, if you are listening to the show in the future on iTunes, hello from the past. Do me a quick favor. Hit that ratings and review. It keeps us up at the top of the page. That's where our advertisers and me love us to be. Makes life very, very easy for me here. Okay, well, we're out of here. Tonight is a Tuesday. I've got a thing tomorrow, so we're no show tomorrow. We will be back Thursday night. Fantastic country singer Madeline Victoria will be our guest. We will see you then. Have a great night, everybody. So long.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.